Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Well, it's better or worse when you finally gave something a try. A couple of other comments here, guys. Meth. Worst experience I've ever had in my life.
Good.
So glad I wasn't one of the ones that got hooked on that S. It was terrible.
But I liked that they gave it a try.
Yeah, that's not something that I'd want to just try. Like, you know what I'm going to do Friday night? I'm going to try some meth.
I mean, you know, I have no interest in trying it, but I tried Oxys years ago. Not for me.
No, not me.
But now I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything I'd heard, they were great.
Right? How long did it take us to walk into the bar that day?
I don't know. It took forever. And then watching you try to pull or use the cigarette machine was like...
It's the most relaxing, Ted. I wasn't aware of how much it relaxed your muscles.
I wasn't either. I did not like that.
No.
It was like watching a child try to throw a ball for the first time. You know, they just have no idea what they're doing.
Did you come out and get us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was where I was sitting in the bar, I could see you two. And then finally, I just opened the door, you know, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And then when you guys sat down, you're like, well, we took this. And it's, I was like, all right. You know what I mean? There's a reason behind it. But originally, I just thought you were being idiots. So I was like, are they messing with me?
Nah, no. We gave Oxys a run, and it's like, ooh, this is not for me, man.
No, that's not.
I mean, I've only tried opiates when I'm, like, had a surgery or something.
Right.
And, like, again, it would make me super itchy, and just, I was like, this, yeah.
I got a handful downstairs.
You got what?
I got a handful downstairs.
What, of opiates?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, you know, somebody's going to be in recovery here soon.
Oh, yeah.
To pick up a script.
Oh, did you really? What'd you get, like Percocet or something?
No, just Oxys.
Well, that was what I
would rather have anything other than Oxys. That's the last time I had surgery. The first thing they want to give you are Oxys, and I said, man, look, give me anything other than Oxys. And it ended up taking longer because they just have them, you know what I mean? They rain out of the sky. So they ended up giving me Percocet.
Okay.
And I was like, fine. And I ended up, they gave me 30 pills. I want to say I took 6 for the pain. Then after that, I'm like, I can deal with this pain. There's a former coworker of ours. I'm like, look, I got 24 Percocets because I have an ounce of weed. We traded, done.
Yeah. My thing was, I hate the feeling of being bloated and constipated. So I try to
weigh myself. Do you hate that?
Well, I try to get, well, that's what backs you up.
Yeah.
When you take that stuff. So for me, it was just like, as soon as I can stop taking that stuff, it's just not my buzz.
Yeah.
I don't know. The one surgery I had, right, they gave, and this was back in the day, so they would give you a bunch of them. But yeah, at one point I realized I was like, oh, this isn't for pain. Like, I'm just kind of high.
Yeah, nice.
That's the guy. We got to stop this.
I've never tried them.
But the other thing, too, is like, you know, for a while there, that was like the thing. People wouldn't go out drinking hard, but you'd like have some drinks and have a pain pill or what's it? Xanax. Or
Xanax. Right? That's everyone's go-to now, right?
But the problem with Xanax is the same thing. Like, I like to rip beers and you just black out.
Yeah.
And it's bad. Mm. Your body's still out there functioning. Apparently, it was you were grabby last night.
Oh. Oh, but you had to be told?
Yes.
And blamed it on Xanax.
Grabby to who? Everybody?
Yeah. There was a hot tub involved. I mean, it just, Dad, I have nothing to this day.
You don't know what happened?
No.
Just what people tell you, but no one's happy.
People weren't pissed. Like, they were like, you're fine, but they were like, you were awfully grabby. And I was like, ugh.
You're fine, but we're going to bring it up.
Just anybody who was in there, you're just grabbing them?
Miles, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know.
I mean, I assume it was women.
Could have been everybody.
But it could have been somebody else.
Get your hand off there, buddy.
One of my favorite calls in the vault is somebody called in, and she was doing pretty good on Four Locos and Valium.
Oh, wow.
Now, Valium. So what is Xanax? Xanax just makes you what?
Xanax is
anti-anxiety.
Something.
Because when people want to get high on Xanax, they'll book a flight so they can go to the airport and lie about why they're popping. I need this to fly. Producers, no, you don't. Does it make you go to sleep?
Produces feelings of calmness and relaxation by slowing down brain activity. So I would not be shocked if people just pass out on
the plane. So it just shuts your brain down.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Right. But Valium, if I was going to do a prescription drug, that's it.
What does that mean? I don't know anything about it.
It's like prescription grade weed.
Oh, yeah?
You're like, oh, you know what?
All right.
I am in a good mood.
They may have given me Valium once. Yeah, I think after a surgery.
Like, for instance, my buddies that are EMTs.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if somebody's tripping out bad, like, give them some Valium, this and that. Like, calm them down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, I had a buddy. Say you had a long one of those weekends or something, and you're not feeling the best, maybe your serotonin's a little down, take one of those to recover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anxiety reduction, muscle relaxation, sedation, seizure control, and alcohol withdrawal.
Right? All right. Okay. I did a float tank once just to see if I could.
I want
to
try that.
Chill out and relax.
Right? Yeah. Deprivation.
Now, I know for a fact that the salt water itself is good for your body.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And pulling all those impurities out. But I don't know that I need to float, so to speak. Like, I didn't. People said you could fall asleep in there, you could do all this stuff, and I'm just sitting in there. I think there was a radio in there, so I turned the radio station on, and I'm floating, and I'm just kind of starting to get bored.
You shouldn't have had a radio station on.
I should have or should not have.
Should not.
Well, they had a radio in there, so I just.
I know, but it's supposed to be deprivation,
right?
You know, that's the whole idea.
And I think the point of floating too is that you have no stress on any of your muscles there. You're just kind of suspended.
Correct. When I got out, I was like, well, okay. I just didn't get the... See, I'm not good at meditation or any of those things. And I know they're all good things for you. I can't get into that zone for some reason.
Well, that's what's good about a deprivation tank is it kind of... You don't have to be good at meditation. It kind of puts you there.
Right, because there's
nothing
else.
You're at the same level as the water. It's the same temperature as your body. So you kind of forget where you start and where you end.
Yeah. Okay, so you got something out of it.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, but you should not have had a radio. That's
yeah, there should be any noise. That's kind of the point.
All right. Okay, well, I messed that up. I did. They had a radio in there. I'm like, I'm bored.
I don't know whether they had a radio
in there. You're judging the jock that's in
there. No, I'm bored. I'm just sitting there listening. Like,
it plays soft music to kind of wake you up out of it.
I mean, I would picture, like, you know, a bunch of Tibetan monks, and it's dead silent, and they're all, you know, face down in prayer, and then somebody cues up Metallica. Like, it's just, like, this isn't the time.
Okay, gotcha.
All the rock.
Gotcha.
Master.
What's almost better works when you finally
let's keep the lid out. Keep praying.
Give something a try. Guys, I've always wanted to be a teacher. Now, I love teaching. I found out I hate being a teacher. The funny thing is I'm still teaching.
Oh.
I
think there's a lot of people in their careers that have that kind of same feeling.
Yeah, because there's a difference between being a teacher and teaching.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Another person says being a cop. I'm just not the right personality for it. So I went back to being a medic. Working in daycare made me realize I love my kids. I don't love all kids.
Yeah, I have no confusion with that.
No, you love your kids because they're yours. You naturally love them. And you want to do them right. But anyone else's kids are just like, yeah, whatever.
They're a-holes.
But your kids will weigh on your last nerve. And like you said, the reason they are not murdered is because they are yours. And that is the beginning and end of that whole statement. I love you so much, you get to survive. That's it. That's parenting.
Right. What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try, guys? Cocaine and bungee jumping. Did not like bungee jumping. I'll tell you what I did in December is I went ziplining.
Yeah.
I had been one time before. That is the last time I'll ever go ziplining.
Wow.
I mean, the harness is absolutely just wrecking your genitals.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely. I mean, I was in so much pain. When I dropped off of one platform, my ass also hit the platform.
Right.
Because the line was a little slacky. And I dropped down, bruised my tailbone, and basically wrecked myself. I mean, I sat on my testicles. And I was just like, oh, my God. And so the whole way down, I'm feeling it go up into my stomach. And not only this zip line course was probably 12 different runs. So I do this on the second run, and I've still got 10 more to go.
Yep.
10 more to go. And I'm just like,
I can just feel the pain in my groin, just how bad this hurts. Just right up to just chafing my schwanch.
Would you go on safari again?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So that is one you've never done. Live up to the hype, bigger than the hype.
It was better than anything I could ever imagine.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's a good sign.
I don't think I've been.
Because that's not cheap. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do a safari, if anyone comes away disappointed from a safari, that's fine. But you're like, man, that is a lot of money to be disappointed.
Right. Correct. You would be shocked at just some of the things that, you know, you think about Africa in a lot of different ways as far as what you know you believe to be true about Africa. Africa is a huge continent. So there's a lot of different, there's deserts, there's jungle, there's, you know, a huge ass mountain. There's South Africa is different than everywhere else. But the food is phenomenal. You have all these different European cultures that are also involved with Africa, where people have retired or whatever, moved down there. The roads. If you've driven in Ballard or Fremont lately, or any of the roads, there's potholes everywhere. The roads in Africa are nicer than the roads in the United States.
I believe that.
There's so much, like, you're not expecting these things. I'm just thinking, like, I'm in the outback, you know, like, I'm in
right,
there's dust flying everywhere. And it's nice. I mean, it's really nice. There's a lot of nice areas. Obviously, like anywhere else, there are poor areas, there are rich areas. But there's so much more money that's being put into Africa right now. Because of, you know, people who go and get jobs in other countries, come back, build their parents a home, build themselves a home.
Yeah.
You know, all on just like, you know, 3 acres of property. It's just this beautiful, just, you know, there's a lot of nice stuff there. Then you get out into the safari area. And you cannot believe just the beauty of the animals, the scenery. I mean, you don't want to be walking out there too long.
You know what I mean? Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
It's dangerous. I mean, everything out there.
Did you see any snakes?
No. But the centipedes and millipedes were about as big as some of the.
Those things bug me, man.
Right?
Like, those big giant ones. It's not right.
It looks like something from a prehistoric era. It looks like something you'd find a fossil of.
Yeah.
Like from the dinosaur era.
Like snakes I can get around. Like I'll avoid snakes. I don't quite have a full-on phobia of them, but I don't go around them just because I don't want to tempt that.
Sure.
Centipedes, millipedes, I don't do that at all. That's not for me.
I'd rather see those than a snake.
The other thing with the centipedes and millipedes, like most snakes won't necessarily attack you. They defend themselves from a perceived attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
The centipedes and millipedes, man, like if you're asleep, like they're coming after you, man.
Yeah.
Like they want to do you harm.
Here's how bizarre. They're huge.
How bizarre.
So on the zip line thing. So I rack my jewels on the second run, all right? Now, where the zip line was, it was over the Victoria River, all right? And every platform I went to, there's monkeys, and the monkeys are just constantly like picking at your hair,
picking at your hair,
picking at your shirt. Mm-hmm. You know, like, come on, dude. I mean, I'm trying to get strapped in here. So the monkeys are being monkeys,
right?
So they're just constantly like messing with you, effing with you the entire time. Then this zip line goes across the river, which is a crocodile infested river. So when you're looking down, there's crocodiles all along the banks.
Are they all looking up with their mouths open?
They're crocodiles. They are looking up at you. Yes, they're crocodiles in the river. And so, like, you got monkeys picking at you. You got crocodiles in the river. You're like, where in the hell am I? What is going on
right here?
I can't feel my testicles. It was just a weird experience. So I think I'm done with bungee jumping. Or not bungee jumping, I'm sorry.
Zip line. I haven't gone since we went in Vegas.
I had fun doing
the Slotzilla thing? No.
But the same thing, the picture, my genitals are not where they should be.
No. It was way too long of a wait. It was way too damn high over asphalt.
It wasn't that long of a wait, and it was not that high.
The thing was spinning while I was going down there on that zip line.
Did you spin?
I did.
Are you supposed to spin?
I'm just twisting up there, and I know I'm about to fall out. I don't do that.
What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try, guys? I was a cook for all of my 20s, and the only saving grace of that god-awful line of work was the coworkers. I think the main reason we all got along so well was because none of us really liked or cared about our jobs. But with no room for advancement.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody stabbing each other in the back to try to get ahead. And nobody needing to act polite or pretend like they wanted to be there. The more I look back at it, the more I realize I kind of like that job.
I did like the camaraderie of being in the kitchen. Because he's right. Like, no one's moving ahead in this thing. We know what we have to do. Everyone's very good at their job. But the most important thing is you don't have to be nice. You could talk as much S about the customers because they can't hear you. And I feel like you felt better about it because the waitstaff had to be nice. And you'd hear them tell you, like, if that bitch at table 3 asked me for one more thing, I'm going to stab her. I'm like, the difference between your job and mine is we will stab them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do not, if you walk into this kitchen, man, you're.
Did you ever see Megan stabbed in the kitchen?
No, I didn't. I threatened to stab a guy once. Do you remember the Atlantic Seafood Restaurant in the old Can Building?
I don't know.
Can.
I don't
know. All right. So anyway, work in a, kind of a busy area of Baltimore. It's a seafood restaurant, whatever. Fairly popular. We get slammed. I don't know if it's a Friday or Saturday night, but it's one of the nights. It's going to be heavy business. No big deal. There's a dude that owned, oh, man, I wish I could remember what kind of store it was, but he was one of these guys that had a skullet, hair still tied to ponytail, but no hair up top. He looked like the Crypt Keeper, as I said, our nickname for him. But he's one of these highfalutin, and he knows everything more than you. He's a vegan, just all this stuff. Everything about him is something I don't like, but I don't need to like. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he came into the restaurant, and we knew who he was because we would see him in his shop from time to time. And he ordered whatever he ordered, but because he's vegan, it's a special order, which, again, no big deal. Very used to it there. But, again, we are very, very, very busy. So it's not like we're waiting to cook his food. It's just we do it in the order that we get the effing ticket. And I don't know how adults do not understand this, but it's like, that's how it works. And you're the one sitting in the restaurant, bro.
That's why tickets have numbers.
Every table. Yes! The whole thing. Anyway, whatever. So I understand people getting impatient. That's fine. He walked into the kitchen, which I could not believe. Normally, you would just ask your waiter, like, is there any, can we get an estimate on our food to get here? But he didn't do that. He got up. He walked into the kitchen and straight up asked us, hey, I ordered the, again, whatever the special order was. And we saw it sitting on our ticket line. And I put my knife down, and I looked at him, and I said, whatever your problem is in this restaurant, as a fact, if you ever walk into my kitchen again, I will stab you in your chest. And I was being dead serious. I'm like, that's how it works. You don't walk into a kitchen, homie. That doesn't work. So he walks out about 5 minutes later, not even that long. General manager Frank, who swears her shirt's not pink, it's salmon. We're like, that's pink, bitch. Anyway,
yeah, exactly.
Frank, and he was just wearing that shirt that day. But he walks in and he's like, hey, did you threaten to stab one of the customers? I said, no, I promised to stab one of the customers. And I'm being dead serious. If he ever walks his ass in this kitchen again, I'm going to stab. He's like, well, he's upset. I said, I'm upset, too. What is your point? We're making this goddamn food. It'll get out there when we're done. Now he's going to get some DNA in it. That's the other thing he didn't understand. So we all hooked him up on that. But I was like, man, you need to tell your customers, if you walk into this kitchen, you're going to get stabbed. If you have a complaint, you talk to the manager, you talk to the wait staff. That's why everyone's here. My job is to make your food. And after that, I don't have a job. I don't have to like you. I don't have to respect you if you walk in my kitchen again. But the point is, he didn't walk back in the kitchen.
No, they didn't.
So the problem was solved. I'm like, there we go.
What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try? 206-803-ROCK.
I would say, too. I always liked bartending. I didn't mind working in bars and stuff. I got tired of not having nights and weekends.
That's the worst part of it, right? And I get it. If you want to make your money, obviously Friday and Saturday nights are the days to go. But what would you do if someone walked behind your bar?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's
I can't even fathom that.
You crossed a line that is not okay.
Right. If you lean over the bar and pour a drink, you're getting 86th.
Yeah. You walk. Yeah. Imagine going into the cockpit. Man, can you speed this flight up? Like, they would lose their minds, right? Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
You know, this happened in India, which I love going to. It's a fantastic place. I highly recommend it. Been going there for 30 years.
30? Is there a specific place you go to, or do you travel around?
We travel around. I go to Bangalore, and then we travel north and south out of there. You know, the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea are just fantastic. Mahabalipuram, Pondicherry, the jungles are fantastic. Food's amazing. But we were in one restaurant that one of my buddies owns. And he goes, you got to try some stuff, man. I got a surprise for you. Every time I go see him, he fixes me something new. And he brings me something out, and I didn't really think it looked too good, but I tried it, and it wasn't tasty. And he goes, well, what is this? He goes, oh, it's brain curry. I said, that's disgusting.
You said brain curry?
Yes, brain curry.
The brain of what?
Yeah, it's beef. It's a cow brain. I mean, it's not. I mean, it was like really, really dry cottage cheese.
Oh, you know, that is not a sense.
I thought you were supposed to leave the cow alone, so to speak.
Yeah, no, not everybody. Just certain religions don't do beef. And then so he goes, okay, well, let me fix you something else. I said, that would be great, Graham. Bring me out something else. So he brings me out another dish, and it's nice, thin cut of meat. Looks really delicious. Tastes fantastic. Most tender piece I've ever had. I go, well, what's this one? He goes, that's tongue. I'm like, well, hot dog. It was delicious. The way he'd fix it, he peeled it and sliced it and marinated it really well. It was fantastic. Oh, he did again.
And it was beef tongue?
Beef tongue, yes, sir.
Huh. Yeah. I like beef.
See, the texture. The texture is what gets me. I'm
about to say, what's the texture of that?
It's a tongue. I mean, it really is. It's like a human tongue.
I mean, but generally, does it feel like it when it's cooked?
Generally, I have it in tacos.
Yeah.
I have had somebody just gave me a piece of tongue, and that's a little bit different.
What was her name?
That's the weird thing about it. I mean, you have no problem kissing someone with your tongue.
Right. Yeah.
And tasting their tongue, so to speak, right? But when you have that tongue in your mouth and you're supposed to eat the tongue, that's what I can't get past.
Yeah.
And the size of it.
Right.
I remember the first time I ever saw it at the grocery store. I just couldn't quite figure it out.
Tentacle.
And, well, I was like, what is that? I'm like 8 years old. My mother just points at the label. It says beef tongue. And then you suddenly just see that is a tongue with the taste buds, the whole nine. It's like, yeah.
And they thinly slice the tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, God. Yeah. What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try? 206-803.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Return to Who Sucks Less coming up at 4:30 right after emails on our question, what was better or worse when you finally gave something a try?
I'll tell you the one thing that I never wanted to give a try. I was hard on this. Finally, then it turns out it was okay. It was going on a cruise, right? Okay. It was my 50th birthday. I said to my wife, you want to go to Malta? I was just in a bad mood. She's like, what's in Malta? I said, I don't know. That's why you go, right? Somewhere we have no idea what the hell's going on there. So we had some friends over for dinner that night, and I'm telling my big plan to go to Malta. And they asked the same thing. They said, why? I'm like, well, why not? What do you know about it? They said, nothing. I said, exactly. That's why I want to go. So, and it's in the Mediterranean, so I know the weather would be great. They were like, you should do a cruise. I said, no, that is the last thing on earth that I want to do. They're like, dude, we're telling you, man. We've done cruises. They're fantastic. So my view of a cruise is just what you see on TV, right? Carnival Cruise Line, Disney,
like Princess. You wake up, you eat breakfast.
Right.
Then are you already at the new port by the time you wake up?
Well, that's the difference. In my mind, a cruise was. I always picture like the Caribbean cruise. So for 3 days, I'm stuck on a boat with people I do not want to be around. But there's nowhere to go unless you throw yourself overboard, right? And I know that is a pessimistic outlook. But here it is, right? That's just the way I saw it. And I'm like, I don't like being trapped in a place. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I want to do something, right? So they explained that this cruise line, I said, look, one, it goes all through the Mediterranean. I had never been there, so why not? That helped. But each day, you're in a different port of call. So, like, we picked it up in Barcelona. That's where we boarded the boat. Like, cool, got to see some Barcelona. The next morning, we were in, I don't remember, but somewhere in France, I believe it was, right? Then the next day, we're in a different place in France. So each day, we're in a different port of call. Got to see all these different cities. So I would do that. Again, I still don't want to do like a carnival cruise or anything. But the one thing I did not want to do, I'm not a big, hey, let's go on a sightseeing thing. But I am married, so we got a sightseeing thing. My wife's like, well, we're going to go to Pompeii. And look, we've all seen the stuff with Pompeii.
Yeah.
So I figured it's going to be the size of a football field. We look at all the crap I've seen in National Geographic. It's going to be a waste of my day. I could not have been more wrong. Pompeii was un-freaking believable. Should you ever find yourself in a position to go, go. It's so much bigger than you thought it was. The history of it was crazy. Like, it was the coolest thing.
And that's still an active volcano.
It is still an active volcano.
So this could very well happen again.
I want to say last year it was burping a little bit of steam, a couple burps here and there. And even though they know it's active, and Pompeii was wiped off the face of the planet, along with another city like Herculaneum or something like that. There's another one that went down from the same explosion. Anyway, they were like, nah, we're going to rebuild
If Mount St. Helens, thank God it doesn't. Thank God it wasn't that disastrous.
Yeah.
But if it had those types of ruins with people just frozen in time.
And you said, let's build within 3 miles of this. And that's the thing.
No one would ever do that. No one would ever want that property.
You get to Pompeii, you know, Pompeii is Pompeii. And like I said, Pompeii is much bigger than you probably think it is when you get there. But once you leave like Pompeii proper, lack of a better word, maybe a mile and a half.
Okay.
It's housing again, man. And I don't mean like a house here and there on farms. I mean like you're talking massive communities, and then they kind of, it's kind of like the suburbs between Tacoma and Seattle. At some point, you're not in this town anymore. Now you're in the city of Naples, right? And Naples has a couple million people living there. But like they said, if this thing blows, Naples will get it. And again, this is a major city with lots of people. And hey, do what you want, but I'm just looking at this volcano, and it's kind of singular. You know, it's not like in this big range. It's just kind of there. And they pointed out, and it looks like something from a Tim Burton movie, you know, when you actually look at it. Mm-hmm. They said, keep in mind, before it blew and wiped out Pompeii, it was twice as tall. So about half of that mother blew off and took out all these people. Anyway, that said, I would not live there, but it was great.
You would not live there for fear of another eruption.
Yeah, and which might sound ridiculous. You can say that about anywhere. You know, Mount Rainier. The difference is, like I said, I think it was just last year, it was kind of rumbling and grumbling and doing its thing, in which case you might not live near Mount Rainier. So like, oh, no, it's constantly, you know, trying to blow something out of here. But the trip itself, it was fantastic. So I thought I'd never do a cruise.
I will say, with Mount Rainier, we've done it now.
What's that?
Like in 1980, like there wasn't that many people living in Puyallup. Or
right.
A lot of those towns now, Lahars, we'll get to.
But the difference is this area has blown up so much. As far as population goes, it's like, look, man, we understand there's a volcano there, but just to accommodate the sheer number of people, ourselves included, that have moved to the Pacific Northwest in the last, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
It's like, that's where we got room, man.
I can tell you this. When you're on that mountain, you cannot believe that there's a possibility that the top part of it could be gone.
Right.
Just based on the sheer size.
Think about that.
The size of the mountain, the rocks, and everything else up there. And you're looking down onto towns when you're up there. I mean, it's the idea that that is even feasible is just incredible.
Right. I'm not worried about it, but you're right. It's because, again, when I'm looking at Vesuvius, they're like, oh, yeah, that's half of it. The other half blew off. But to your point, like, this is a solid stone structure. And with one ba-boom, half of it was gone. It's like, Jesus Christ. But, again, I'm not a big let's go do a touristy thing. That was fantastic. So I got to give credit to my wife. Like, you booked it. I didn't want to do it because I had this idea that it was going to be some lame ass whatever. It really wasn't. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try? I've never been in a helicopter before. You've taken two helicopter rides.
I've taken two. And so what I realized, it depends solely on the helicopter itself. The one in Hawaii, it was my idea. Like, yeah, man, you can fly over volcanoes and all that, and you're looking at the beautiful ocean. Wife didn't feel like doing it, but in the end, she's like, fine. She ended up loving it. I did not like it so much. Just because that thing, every little heat pocket you hit, and it's only dropping like 20 feet or whatever, but it's, if that takes one half of 1 second, and not one half of 1 second, you're convinced you're going to die, but the whole ride was like that. So when we finally landed, I'm like, never again. Then we have kids, we go to Niagara Falls, there's all these signs for the helicopter ride over the falls. You get all the please, 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 please. And I'm just like, I really don't want to do this. But these helicopters, I mean, these things are like Mac Daddy Cadillac helicopters.
Was it worth it based on the view you saw?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for Niagara Falls, it was unbelievable, man.
Here, I want to do a pontoon flight to like the San Juan.
It's called a seaplane, dude.
Seaplane, yeah. Well, whatever.
Like the Ted just did.
No, you were an actual plane, were you?
Well, a little Cessna.
Yeah, maybe.
It wasn't a pontoon, though.
No. San Juan Airlines, they take off from the airport in Bellingham, and then we land it on Lopez.
Okay, I was thinking you did the pontoon boat. So your Cessna, not that Cessna has the greatest track record as far as what you read in the news.
I think it was a Cessna. Sorry, San Juan Airlines.
Just tiny. But yeah.
Tiny plane. But I'm telling you, Miles, you feel it in that thing.
Well,
that's the difference with air travel. We're used to commercial airliner. You get, there might be turbulence, but that's kind of the only thing you notice. And then you get on your small plane, these helicopters, you're like, okay, the reality of flight is a lot different than what they do for you on a commercial airline.
And it was that one Friday in the late of August where it was like fall. It was windy. It was rainy. And that Like, when I flew back on that Sunday,
yeah,
it was so beautiful, I almost cried. I mean, it was gorgeous, and it was smooth.
Yeah.
That Friday was a little bumpy, and those dudes know what they're doing. It was fine, but it scared the crap out of me. But I would do it again.
Okay.
In a minute.
All right. Well, the seaplanes fly over my house every morning at 8 and at 9, or whatever time I'm home. And it's like 1, 2, 3. The three of them fly over. And I look at them all the time, like, one day, I'm going to get on one of those things.
Just do it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we live in a place to do it, man.
Right, yeah. I mean,
where do they go? If I book one of those.
So they go out to San Juan. So you could take it to Friday Harbor.
All right.
If you fly out to Lopez, it lands right in front of my buddies with the Lopez Islander.
And then what do you do when you get there?
I don't know much about Friday Harbor. You can actually just walk right off of the deck, and you are in the middle of downtown.
So Friday Harbor has a lot going on.
All right.
San Juan Island, I like it, but it's a little, Lopez Island, it's rustic.
Okay.
There's not a ton going on. You better have dinner by 10 p.m.
Oh, all right. Then I'm going to Google Friday Harbor
has a lot more bars and restaurants right there, like where the ferry dock is. It's pretty fun. I haven't been to Orcas yet. That's the other one that's out there.
Orcas is worth it.
Yeah.
The family and I, when we were doing a lot more riding on our motorcycles and dirt bikes and whatnot, we would take the ferry out to Orcas Island. And same thing. There's a lot of great little bars that are down there that kind of overlook the ferries and all that. So if you know that you got a ferry coming in, they've got a deck that looks right over on top of it. So you're just sitting there having a cocktail. As soon as you see that boat coming in, check, please. It's perfect.
I would also say, and I'm not, I look, nobody's paying me to talk about the San Juan Islands, but Friday Harbor is cool. Then you go on the backside of that island, and that's where Roach Harbor is.
All right.
It'll take your breath away. Just gorgeous. Beautiful.
Is there anything back there? Is there a town?
There's a marina that they've built up, and like people from around the world will sail or take their yachts to that harbor just because it's so picturesque. And then there's like little restaurants. I think there's a hotel or something.
Roach, like a marijuana cigarette?
Or like the bug?
Like the bug?
All right. Yeah.
That's not what I think about when I think of roaches.
Oh, wow.
Golly. Yeah, it is stunning.
I'll be damned. Okay. All right.
And there's a great, I can't remember the name of it. There's a great oyster farm on that side of the island, too.
Is it a name we know?
No.
Okay.
Well, because I like Wellfleet oysters in Cape Cod. Over there, it's Westcott Oyster Farm.
Westcott Oyster Farm.
Okay. You got to make reservations, though, dude. Get the stoplight. Tell them Ted sent you.
What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try? 206-803-ROCK?
Will that help me in any way?
No. Don't tell them I sent you. They have no idea who I am.
They'll be like, is that the guy who met Big Dumper? Had no idea. Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Hummus guy? Yeah. This is a wild one. Sleeping with my friend's wife.
Oh,
wow.
My friend wanted me to do it.
Oh, okay. And I'm in.
That is his fetish.
It didn't work out. Has a chair in the bedroom.
That's his buddy's fetish. Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't work out?
I don't think they're friends anymore. I'm assuming.
Oh, that's weird.
You think that means he just put it to her? Right, because you're saying, this is my fetish. I want to see you have sex with my wife.
Right.
So the only thing you could do wrong, my thought, is just absolute toe curling.
Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's what he slayed.
Like, she's making noises he's never even heard
before. Exactly. That's the only, like, this is your fetish. I'm doing this for you.
He can't ever have sex with her anymore because she's just thinking about this.
Yeah. Damn. That's why it's a bad idea.
What was better or worse when you finally get something to try? This one says nightclubs. Grew up in a super religious house, so I was never allowed to go. Then I moved out and found them just really boring and overwhelming. You can't actually have a conversation. You gotta scream at everybody. People seem to be acting to look cool and get laid, and it was also super expensive.
I'm not going to down-talk nightclubs too much, but I feel like I would have a similar experience.
I think you would, but
it's not my flavor.
Have you been to one? You know you're going to yell, and everyone is trying to get laid. That's why you're here. Like, before they had Tinder or whatever it is, where you're just trying to, like, go to the club. Everyone's kind of down.
Right.
Yeah. No, and I also feel like I have hit the cutoff on age.
Oh, for sure.
So, if I walk into a nightclub,
somebody's dad's here!
Yeah. I don't feel comfortable. I should not be there.
You got to be in VIP.
Are you somebody's Uber?
Right, seriously. I mean,
somebody call an Uber.
If I was a bartender working the door, that's a different story. If I was a manager, that's a different story. But to be a patron at my age,
no, you got to go. You got to be in the VIP.
You better have a fat stack of cash.
Right? I would also say too, depends on where you are, right? Like if you're in Vegas, I highly recommend people go try a nightclub. Now some of them are way too expensive, but We used to do it all the time. When I was in my 20s, like even here, Pioneer Square still had a lot of nightclubs.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, my buddies run Vice up on Capitol Hill. I was in there. I should stop. Mm. I like nightclubs.
Okay. Yeah, see.
But you got to sit in the VIP, I guess, right?
That is true. I was in VIP, and I knew the DJ, now, so that helped.
Well, of course you like it. But the Seahawks games, the suites are fantastic.
Now, I've never been
I'm just saying, after about 35, you look so old. Yes.
All right. Oh, God. What is what? Okay, so I've never been in VIP at a club. Yeah. So what is, do you have a separate bar in there?
It depends. Like Q,
a separate dance.
Q has like floor. A VIP area that there is a different bar back there.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
So it depends on the quicker. Club for sure.
Right, and then some places VIP might, or you just like we were sitting behind the DJ at Vice. So then like the waitresses just come up and be like, "Hey, what can I get you?"
Yeah, right. This and that. So there are other people back there too. So do you basically correct. Just stay with the people you're with, or do all the VIP people mingle with each other?
It depends. They were much younger. They didn't want to mix with us too nice, but their security is really nice. So when they encroached in our area, they were like, hey, okay. These guys are VIP.
All right.
Settle down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You could still go to... Now, Vegas is different.
Vegas
is a lot of ages. So you could still go to nightclubs, but it helps. I have people that work in that industry that are friends. I don't know that I would just...
Roll into them.
For instance, VIP behind the DJ. Start talking to a girl. She's obviously much younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I said, you know, for a change, I'll buy you a drink. Let's go get a drink. And within 2 minutes, her friend was on her and dragged her off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why are you with that creepy old man?
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, you know the game. You know why her friend showed up. You should have just been like, hey, can you give it a minute? Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain age, too, where it gets tough. Because there's still nights where it's like, man, I want to go out and dance. You know what I mean? But like, I'm not going to dance at the local.
You're going to have to go to a country spot. Then it's okay, I bet.
Yeah, Little Redhead, they're always dancing.
Yeah. But do they dance the way you like to dance?
No.
Like, country is a lot of dances, but I'm like, but it's all this unison thing. But rarely do you see just like an individual
dance. We know you can dance, but could you blend into the country dance world? I mean, do you have those moves, whatever they are?
Can I do the Texas two-step?
I'm sure you could.
I could figure it out.
Country dancing seems to require less dexterity and more unison, right? Kind of watch what the person next to you is doing and do the best you can to do that. Where
there's no freestyle.
Ted breaks it down.
Yeah.
Like Ted's dancing. You look at him and go, that's a guy who's dancing.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I'm going to see Diplo at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
11 a.m.
Yeah.
Will you be dancing at 11 a.m.?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Plus, I'm doing a 5K first.
Consider that rum cut.
Yeah, man. I'm going to be obnoxious all day in Fremont. Miles, if you run into me, you did a 5K today? I did.
What was better or worse when you finally gave something a try? Here's another one. Edibles. Panic Attack City. And it doesn't really matter if I'm in a controlled environment or not. Yep. It just drives me nuts.
Really?
Yeah.
I love them.
No, I'm out.
Same. I love them.
But... Yeah, you're saying edibles specifically?
Yeah. The only thing that I'll do is there's certain mints that the lady and I have discovered that are great before a flight. They are great if you just want to chill out for a little
bit. How many milligrams?
5.
Okay, yeah, my wife picked up some tenors. And she's like, I couldn't sleep because I felt like my leg had detached from my body. Uh-huh. It was laying on the floor. I said, well, why would you get 10 milligrams? You don't smoke like I do or anything like that. She's like, I know.
Well,
seemed like a good idea.
My thing is, I forget that I take them. And then 45 minutes later, I'm like, what is going on? Like, I don't even really know if I'm enjoying this. But then I realize, oh, I ate that brownie or whatever the deal is. And then I'm like, because I know when I'm eating it, I know I took it.
But it takes a while.
But it takes a while. And when it does set in, it makes me forget that I did.
Right. You forgot.
Because you're stoned. And that's
exactly.
You're stoned, so you kind of forgot. You forgot that you're stoned. You just wonder why you're so laser focused on something or whatever. Then you're like, oh, that's right.
No matter what, if I take like 7 milligrams at that point, I feel like I'm about to die.
Really?
I'm going to die.
What was the dosage on the ones that we took when we were going to Spokane?
The brownies. Oh, those guys.
Oh, Spokane. Those were 100 a piece.
100 milligrams.
Oh.
Is that why we were so messed up?
I didn't take any of those.
Oh, I ate two of them.
Thank God. I did not eat any of those.
Yeah. Well, you tend to do that. It's not working.
Yeah, it was.
And then it's like, oh. And I'm like, it is working. You gotta let it chill.
Come on,
man. Nobody had a higher arc than I did. Like, wow, I'm dying laughing. Then we stopped to get fast food. And then I just passed out.
Yeah, he just had the backseat all to himself. He just stretched out.
This guy's,
I remember Mike going, what are you laughing at? I was like, I don't know.
Oh, Mike, the cows are laying down. You know what that means.
It's going to rain.
Couple more. Skiing, that rate of speed plus my severe anxiety did not work out. I didn't break my ankles, but part of my soul died that day.
I want to get back into snowboarding. I will never go snowmobiling again.
That's fair.
I shouldn't say never. She'd have to be really hot.
Well, just not where you were.
Correct. If it's flat land.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's still dangerous. That's where I went underneath the fence.
Yeah. Just chalet. So
that's helping.
Yeah. I mean, it was a farm. It was farmland.
Yeah.
And it was a wooden fence, just the post going across. I went in between the two with my skis in the front of the snowmobile, and I just stopped and I went flying.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped the snowmobile. It didn't break through the fence. Which is impressive.
You're a bad Kool-Aid man.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was the end of that. What was it? Black Cat, I think was the name of that thing. Las Vegas. I can see how it would be an absolute riot for some. I just don't gamble. And if you've been to one casino, you've been to every casino. And I'm really not a big fan of the shows either.
See, I don't gamble, but I love to drink. And all I have to do is sit at a slot machine and they hand me free drinks all night. I'm like, dude. And people watching, 10 million people you talk to, the hookers you turn away. It's like, this is fine.
And I'm
man.
Sorry, no, you've seen one hotel, you've seen them all. Not really. Each hotel has its own flair if you just look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I've been to Vegas twice the last couple of years to go see shows of the Sphere. But I don't know. Sometimes I think I'd rather have a beach cabin or a cabin in the woods and hang
out. Yep, it's a busy vacation.
Cabin in the woods.
Here's another one. Amusement parks. Absolutely nothing enjoyable happens there.
What?
I've been dragged to several around the country, and I always end up just keeping an eye on other people's kids to make sure they don't get kidnapped while the parents shovel funnel cakes into each other's mouth and stand in line for hours to ride a ride. See, I like a good amusement park.
I'm with you. I love them. I love rides.
Very selective about what
exactly.
I get on.
Just give me the roller coasters, man.
Just give me the roller coasters and I am good.
I'd like the Lady and the Tramp a funnel cake with a chick.
A funnel cake?
Yeah.
When's the last time you had a funnel cake? I got one in August, and it is beach town in Delaware. Man, I watched him make it. It was so good. But the thing is the size of a dinner plate.
Yeah.
And it's just grease and sugar, man.
But it's gone quick. If you did three or four people,
I took like two bites. It was really good, but I could just feel my stomach going, please don't eat anymore. So walked back to the house, told the kids, all the cousins were there. I said, hey, guys, if you want any of this funnel cake, that's about what came out of my mouth. And they just descended on. They were like piranhas, man. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30. And we've got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.